Federal retirees will see the largest annual increase in benefits payments in 40 years next year as the Social Security Administration announced that the annual Social Security cost of living adjustments will be 5.9%. Now, that could be considered a mixed blessing, indicating that inflation is here and could be a factor for a while. My guests are Jacqueline Simon, she's Director for Policy in the American Federation of Government Employees, and Dave Baker, Managing Director, Federal Employee Benefits Education Services. Welcome to you both. Jackie, would it be fair to say that the previous administration was known for, in one sense, waging war against federal employees' pay and benefits in an attempt to privatize government functions? Where does the current administration land here?
Well, it's very difficult to compare these two administrations. The Biden administration has been very, very supportive of the federal workforce, certainly in terms of rhetoric. And although we haven't really seen a budget proposal from this administration that fully describes their approach to management, we just got the president's management agenda as of yesterday, the first one. And it certainly is a difference in the sense that it is all about trying to support the federal workforce and provide adequate resources for people to be able to get their jobs done in the best possible way. So it really is a very, very different kind of approach.
And I hear a sense of relief in your voice, and if that's not inaccurate. Talk about the vaccine mandates and the federal workforce. What's going on with that right now?
I think that the vast majority of federal employees have been vaccinated voluntarily, and a mandate was not required to induce them to get vaccinated. There were a certain percentage of federal employees that really kind of reflects the population at large that is resistant to the vaccine. And then there's a different percentage that's resistant to the mandate. And I think it's important to separate the two. I think there are a lot more people who oppose the mandate than who oppose the vaccine and who are many of the people who oppose the mandate are vaccinated. I think where we are right now, we have asked the administration to harmonize the deadline between federal employees and federal contractor employees. We see the legitimacy of the mandate resting on the government's interest in maintaining a safe and healthy workplace. It's very much a workplace safety issue. And insofar as contractors work right beside federal employees in many, many locations throughout the federal government doing very similar work to federal employees, the idea that one workforce would be held to a certain deadline and another a different deadline just undermines the entire rationale for the mandate. So right now, the contractors have till January 4th. And we believe that the administration on grounds of consistency alone, needs to change the deadline for federal employees. I think the other thing that we have asked is to have the administration take termination off the table as one of the punishments for failing to get vaccinated. There's other forms of discipline. There's imposition of the OSHA emergency rule. But I don't think that people should be fired.
Hey, Dave, I think there's a lot of misconceptions, too, out there about the vaccine issue. What kind of effect does that have on from a benefits standpoint? How does that affect that?
Well, Scott, what we're seeing out in the federal employee space is that when we're talking to people that have not been vaccinated and are really up against the mandate as well, they're making uneducated, rash decisions regarding their retirement. They're willing to fall on the sword, so to speak, and just, quote, retire now without even knowing what their options are. And this goes back to what we've seen for years now, is that most federal employees don't really know what their benefits are. And when I'm talking about benefits, I'm not talking about their health insurance, which right now, I mean, it's a huge push. It's that time of year. And we see health insurance being pushed all over the place. But in my opinion, the retirement benefits need to be pushed just as hard, because going back to the vaccine issue, people are ready to retire without having any clue what that would do to their retirement scenario. I mean, OPM has mandated that they have to have financial workshops done at three different points in their career, and these just aren't happening. And so people are retiring not even knowing what their retirement's going to look like. And then, you know, talk about a fight for dignity. There's dignity while you work, but then there's also dignity while you're in retirement, and they don't have that option right now because they're being forced
out. Agencies are supposed to be providing some sort of benefit training, right? Jackie, to your knowledge, what's happening with that?
I have not gotten any kind of information from our membership that there's any kind of big surge in retirement solely as a reaction to the mandate. You may know more than I do about this, but this is kind of almost the first time hearing of this. I think that the people I've talked to who are holdouts on the vaccine are really kind of they've submitted applications for exemptions. They're asking for or willing to take their chances on the counseling and progressive discipline that has been promised by the administration. But as far as people who are just prematurely retiring without any kind of real planning, just doing it in haste because of the mandate, I haven't heard about that. From a certain perspective, I would argue that federal retirement benefits are pretty straightforward. One of the things that we have warned our membership against is for-profit companies that come into the agencies and have access to the federal workforce and try to sell them on financial services and encourage them to take their money out of the TSP and get a private IRA or some other kind of private investment of that money. And the education we encourage is from the TSP itself. We are very interested in making sure that federal employees know that the TSP is the best deal in the United States of America. There is no private firm that can come anywhere near matching the low administrative costs, so that they should definitely keep their money in TSP and not roll it over into a private firm. With regard to their retirement benefits under FEHBP, we try to make them aware that they have to be sure to enroll in the years prior to retirement in order to take their health insurance into retirement. Beyond that, we encourage everyone to take full advantage of the matching, of the employer matching for the TSP, because it's such an important source of retirement income. Obviously we advocate for decent pay increases every year, and to protect the federal retirement benefit and federal employee health benefits from efforts by some lawmakers to cut those benefits and shift the cost from the employer to the employee. So that's pretty much what we do.
Well, Dave, where do you land on this as far as what she just talked about regarding the TSP
else? Boy, we could have a whole conversation for about an hour on just that. But for the most part, I would say, she's really hitting the nail on the head, is that there is a big lack in education for federal employees. OPM has mandated that they need to have these educational workshops at three different points in their career. Beginning of career, mid-career, and pre-retirement. And OPM has mandated that the individual agencies are supposed to have a process in place. Yet the agencies are really, for all intents and purposes, blocking anybody coming in. Now, there's a big disconnect out there, is that, Jackie's absolutely right. We don't want just anybody coming in and talking to federal employees. These workshops should be done by approved government contractors that are approved specifically for benefits education and investment advice. And there aren't too many companies that are approved for that. Now, we are, obviously. That's why we're here. But having that type of information available to people so that they can make educated decisions about their own future and have that come from an approved contractor, which, by the way, we're also fiduciaries. So that means that people's benefits need to come first and foremost rather than some sales person coming in and just pushing product. So we believe wholeheartedly in that same process, and education is key, because if people don't know what their benefits are, and I've got a great example. I've got somebody that has been employed by the government for 37 years in a human resources department who did not know that there was going to be a pension for her. So how does this happen? It's from lack of education and lack of exposure. And there's a big job that needs to be done. And just, I know that there are people out there doing it. I mean, we do it. That's what we do. But there just needs to be more effort. You know, as I'm looking at the government websites this morning, I mean, it's all get your health insurance, which is great. That's a great message, because it's that time of year. Everybody needs it. But for the rest of the year, there should be the same messaging. Have you had your workshop? Are you financially educated? Are you ready for retirement? Federal employees have the best compensation and benefits package out there. Nobody knows. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Hardly anybody knows what that really means to them as individuals.
Hey, Jackie, in my research around you, you're a big deal. You know, I see you on Capitol Hill and on C-SPAN and all that. What are you focusing all your attention on right now?
We've got a lot going on at AFG. You know, we represent 700,000 federal employees in almost every executive branch agency. So this week, the Senate is taking up the defense authorization bill that has a lot of policy issues that are of great importance to our members. We are, working with the administration, trying to undo some of the damage that the previous administration did to our collective bargaining agreements, the rights of federal employees to join a union and be represented by their union. That is, of course, a huge issue. We're still dealing with the many consequences of this pandemic. Close to half of our membership is working at home. And of those people who are teleworking, some would like to continue it at least on a part-time basis. Some would like to continue it on a full-time basis. Some cannot wait to get back to the work site. We've got lots of health and safety issues at federal work sites. We represent meat and poultry inspectors in the slaughterhouses. You've probably read about the circumstances inside a lot of these plants what a terrible struggle it's been to protect workplace health and safety. We represent corrections officers, border patrol agents, ICE agents who are dealing with all the issues at the border. And also vaccine hesitancy among their membership. You may know or may not know that inmates in federal prisons are not required to be vaccinated. So the corrections officers are, the inmates are not. That's a huge health and safety issue too. So those are just some of the things that are on my plate this week.
You sound busy.
Yeah.
Finally, going back to Dave's point, I think we can acknowledge that federal benefits are pretty straightforward, or at least on the surface for some people. But, for a lot of people, I mean, the example that he gave is startling, that somebody in human resources in the federal government didn't know they had a pension after working there for 37 years. What kind of support could Dave, for example, provide? How would that work out?
Well, it's, a shocking story that somebody who works in human resources, I don't know, what level that person was in a human resources office who did not know he or she was eligible for a pension. Obviously, that same office should be providing information to the federal workforce. And so it's a little ironic that somebody in the HR department wouldn't know, but everyone should be aware, of course. And that should be part of onboarding. There should be regular opportunities for people to talk to somebody in HR about their, you know, their benefit accruals. Obviously, you know, you've got to make sure if when you're the federal employee, him or herself needs to make sure that the HR department is not making mistakes. I mean, there are a lot of things that have financial consequences that an HR department is responsible for doing, and they make mistakes all the time, whether it's overtime or leave accrual, or, you know, properly accounting for some kind of a leave without pay, or a paid parental leave, or being in some other kind of status, military reserve service. You know, there's all kinds of issues, and HR departments are notorious about getting stuff like that wrong. I think, you know, here we are 25 years later, we're still suffering throughout the government from when Bill Clinton pretty much downsized HR departments all across the government and eliminated, you know, hundreds of thousands of jobs. And some of that work was outsourced. Some of it went to shared services, so-called centers of excellence. But what it really means is that expertise disappeared in many agencies, and people's access to HR professionals declined dramatically. And so a lot of people who work at small agencies who get their so-called back office function, HR, performed by a shared service provider in another agency, don't really have any place to go. So it's not surprising that people are not as well informed as they ought to be. That was a conscious decision back from our good friend Bill Clinton to sort of really undermine that function throughout the government. And we've never really recovered.
Dave, it sounds like you probably have some services and some benefit that you can provide agencies. Is there anything you would like to add here? Because we got Jackie on the phone, and she's busy and rarely probably gives a lot of these interviews.
Well, I would say that what she just said is spot on. I mean, what happened in the mid-90s with getting rid of the regional HR offices is just pure devastation. And, you know, our push at Federal Employee Benefit Education Services is to, you know, kind of fill in the gap. I mean, that's why we're a government-approved contractor for this space, because there is this huge vacuum, lack of information. All of those people that we used to work back then, well, again, I'm using too much of a general term. Most of those people that were in those positions back then are gone now. So there's this vast knowledge base that has just simply disappeared, and which leaves, unfortunately, the federal employees grasping at straws. And there's this water cooler talk, you know, it's he said, she said. It's just, there's nothing but bad information swirling around through these offices. And really, our goal is to see how we can help the agencies. Now, the agencies, surprisingly enough, are not really open to getting help. I mean, there's the GETA Act that has been in place since the 50s and again since the mid-90s that opens the door for bringing in private sector help. And then there is the U.S. Code, 8350. Done in 2007 and then updated in 2011, encouraging this type of work to be done. So our hope is that the unions pick up the mantle and say, hey, this is an opportunity. We know that our membership needs the help. Here's how we can help our members to ensure that they have, not only having that fight for dignity, but have a fight for dignity into retirement. Because if they don't take full advantage of what they have at their fingertips and available to them, most of them tend to make the wrong decisions, which will devastate their finances, not only for them, but more often for the surviving spouse and their children. So we look forward to working with the unions to help fill this gap. I think there's a great opportunity for everybody to do a lot of good, and it's a win for everybody involved.